All right, take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 19. Man, I hope you had a good day and, you know, everything was just wonderful and you were jumping up and down for joy. And Brother Pike said that wasn't him. He had two teeth pulled today. So his jumping up and down was he didn't jump very high, all right? But that's all right. People always used to tell me it'll feel better when it quits hurting.
Amen.
So we're confident that'll be true, all right? So, all right, if you're there in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, 1 Chronicles 19, verse 13, I want you to look at that one verse. The Bible said there, be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. I want you to look at those words, let us behave ourselves valiantly. Let us behave ourselves valiantly. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details of what's happening in this chapter, all right? Just suffice it to say that Israel had found themselves in a major battle, all right? In a major battle. Most of their history has been fighting. You just start from the time God put, them there and the nation, there's been battle. They had the battle to take the land in Joshua's day. They've had the battle to keep it through David as he enlarged the kingdom. And then as those kings that followed Solomon, they had battles back and forth. And they're there today. They're still battling, all right? They're still battling. But in the course of that war, they found themselves trapped between the Ammonites on one side and the Syrians on the other side. So what Joab did, who was the leader of the armies of God, he split his forces into two groups, and he put himself as the head of one of those groups. He put his brother Abishai as the head of the other group. And then his plan was real simple. He said, now, if y'all under Abishai are fighting a battle and you find yourself needing a little help, we'll help you. But he said, on the other hand, if we're over here taking on this group and we find ourselves, you know, needing a little help, y'all are going to come help us.
Right.
And nobody said anything about what would happen if they both needed help, all right? But he just said that was the plan. And after saying that, he came along and said, let us behave ourselves valiantly, all right? That was his words in seeking to encourage the people of God. He said those words. He said, let's behave ourselves valiantly for our people, for our people. Now, in our day, I believe the child of God finds himself in somewhat of a similar situation. Now, I'll tell you what, if you're a Bible believer, if you're a real Bible-believing Christian, you're in a minority. You and I, as Bible believers, are in a minority, all right? Just plain and simple. We're surrounded by opponents. We're surrounded by enemies. And those that would live by the principles and precepts of the Word of God are viewed with suspicion. And in some cases, even hatred, all right? At best, we're barely tolerated, okay? So it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be what we are. Now, I'm not encouraging you to change what you are. I think you ought to be a Bible believer. I think we ought to believe his book. I think we ought to stand on what the Bible says. I don't think we ought to look around and say, well, let's try to get the majority. Well, we can do everything we can to win people to Christ and reach everybody we can with the gospel. But it's our job to take stand for God and do what God wants us to do. And with that said, I think the words of Joab are good for us. I just want to look at it for just a little bit. As they were good for Israel, I think they're good for us. Notice that, behave. Let's behave ourselves. When I was a kid, it was real common to hear such words. And I don't know how many times I was told, you behave yourself.
Amen.
You behave yourself, all right? Hey, people, folks knew what it was to behave.
Right.
You told somebody behave, you didn't have to go any further. They understood, you know. I'll be honest, I'm not sure people understand what those words mean today. I'm not sure the generation of today understands it, you know. When I heard those words, you said, well, what did it mean? Well, it meant straighten up. Do right. Act right. Quit fooling around. It covered a multitude of evil, all right? It just covered a lot of things. And the dictionary, though, if you go to it, the dictionary says that word behave means to act in a proper manner. Now, that's a good definition, but unfortunately, I think we've failed to teach a lot of people what is proper. People don't understand what is proper. You behave yourself properly. Well, what's that? How do you behave properly? And the problem today seems to be that folks don't realize, and I'm afraid this is true, folks, they don't realize how important it is that God's people behave as God's people.
Amen.
Quit fooling around.
Yes, sir.
Act like you are God's people. Hey, that's not too much to ask, is it? Just ask God's people, act like you belong to Him.
Amen.
Just act like you are what you claim you are, and act right, act like a child of God. As I said, just quit fooling around in life. We see professing Christians today involved in absolutely everything that the world loves. I mean, we see people that profess to be Christians, they curse just like the crowd that's not saved. Their language is abysmal, all right? They wear revealing clothes.
Amen.
They're just no different. They drink. They use the Lord's Day like it was just any other day. I mean, you know, it's the Lord's Day. Think nothing of skipping church for any reason under the sun. You don't have to have a reason, just skip it. You don't need a reason, just skip church, all right? You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God's people seemingly don't know how to behave as Christians.
Right.
How to behave as a Christian. If you join the armed forces, I remember when we had a member here in church, brother, name is, I know it starts with a K, brother that was out at the Joint Air Force Base, Brother Crott. Thank you. Brother Crott, all right? Brother Crott went out to the base with him one day and just watching him. Those fellas and those people that were in service were taught how to behave like people in service are supposed to behave. They knew what to do. They knew how to act like a soldier was supposed to act, okay? They knew how to do it. They knew when to put the hat on, when to take it off, all right? There was time it had to be on, time it had to be off. And, they knew that. They knew what to do. And so they behaved like they were a soldier. Well, listen, God's people ought to learn to behave like God's people.
Amen.
We ought to have a speech that goes along with us.
Right.
We just ought to have that. And we ought to learn to behave ourselves. There's things we ought to have no business doing. Our problem is on Christianity, we got people arguing. Well, man, you know, hey, I'm under grace and God's giving. Wait a minute, hold on. You're not turned loose to do anything you want to do. All right, we're to behave like a child of God, all right? We're to behave like we belong to the King of Kings.
Amen.
We're to behave that way, all right? And here it is, Joab saying to the people of God, behave yourselves, behave yourselves. But notice, he didn't just say behave yourselves, he said let us behave ourselves valiantly, valiantly. That word valiantly means marked by courage or determination. Marked by courage or determination. Hey, we're to behave ourselves in a determined manner. We're to behave ourselves in a courageous manner. Look, if I'll be honest with you, courage is needed in our day if we're going to identify with the people of God.
Yeah.
It takes courage. We've got folks on many college campuses around our country today rioting and carrying on and demanding some things for a bunch of folks that are killers.
Yeah.
And, you know, demanding that they be heard and that nothing happened to them, even though they've gone in and destroyed property and all that kind of thing. And they say, we've got a right to do that. No, they don't. Hey, how sad it is that God's people, when we live in a day that it's like that, then it takes courage to really identify yourself with the Lord.
Right.
It takes courage to identify yourself with people of God. You say, what are you? I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I'm a child of God. Nothing wrong with that. We ought to have the courage to do it. And it's needed if we're going to stand for that which is right. If we're going to stand for that which is good, that which is godly, it's going to take a little courage. Stand up and do it, all right? Because the world's idea is not that.
No.
The world's idea is, hey, kind of loosen up.
Yeah.
The contemporary Christian world today is loosen up.
Yeah.
Loosen up. Hey, expand out. You know, we hear the word, you need to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
Well, look, everybody's included.
Because
right. Everybody's a sinner.
That's right.
And the Lord died for all of them.
Damn.
That's the inclusiveness of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't mean, hey, you get saved and then you just keep on living however you don't know. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Right.
New creature. And it takes courage to take that step. And to do it, it also takes courage and determination to inflict damage and hurt on the enemies of God. You say, preacher, are you saying take up arms? No. I don't mean we're to go out and find some lost folks and punch them out. Hey, the God of this world doesn't like being resisted. He doesn't like it. His crowd doesn't appreciate it either. Doesn't appreciate it either. Look, I can remember in days gone by when you'd go knock on the door and you'd tell somebody you're visiting the church, and you'd have people that never went to church, but they'd receive you.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
They'd receive you. They'd be nice to you. They would be civil. They would talk. But, man, nowadays you get out with people and they attack you.
Amen.
I've had people say, well, I mean, the church is responsible for this, that, and the other. And I go, no. But they won't receive you, all right? And what it is, when we're standing up and we're resistant, when we take a stand, we're going to have some problems back from it.
Oh, yeah.
I think back to my dad. Dad had the courage to stand and to lead our church to refuse to pay tax on the property where our school is now.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it's wrong. We're not supposed to do that. Church is tax exempt. We're not supposed to have to pay that tax. And there were other churches in the area.
Yep,
facing the same thing, and some of them said, well, we're going to pay, but we're going to do it under protest.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'll be honest with you. The officials don't care if you protest as long as you pay, all right? As long as you pay, they don't care if it's under protest or anything else. Just do it, you know. And even to this day, even though we went to court and then went to appeals court, and all, even though they've ruled in our favor, even today, we often get questionnaires. And I get a questionnaire about that property where the school is. What's going on down there? How's it being used, you know? And they're looking, and I'm always careful when we answer that. You have to be careful how you answer, because they can take one word and chew you up over one word, all right? You say, well, how do you answer? The way CLA says, all right? I just called the Christian Law Association and said, look, I got this questionnaire, and here's what they're asking. I want to know how to answer. They'll punch me an email back and say, put this down, all right? And we'll do it. We'll do it. We get a questionnaire about the house over on Mac. Who's living there? Are they, you know, involved in the ministry and everything? All just chirping at us, all right? Why? Because I honestly, I believe, because back then we stood up and said, nope, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. That's part of it. And I remember when we first went to talk to the folks at the county, they told Dad, I'd tear that notice up, throw it in the trash. Church is exempt.
Right.
And that was the attitude. People that feel that way, that's not the attitude today. It's not the attitude today. Hey, the world doesn't like it when we won't go along just to get along with them.
Amen.
So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to behave ourselves valiantly. We need to have the courage, if you will, of our conviction. Courage to stand for them, all right? Now, the context of this is behaving with courage and determination. You still have your Bible open there? Notice what it says. And let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people. Let's behave ourselves valiantly for our people. Hey, who are our people? Our people are the people of God. That's our people. We're to step up. We're to be willing to take a stand to help, hey, one another as we serve the Lord. We're to do that. Willing to fight, stand. Remember back in, boy, I guess it must have been about 1980, something around there. The state really went after Lester Roloff and his homes down around Corpus Christi. And so I can remember as churches and preachers banded together and man went there and stood with Brother Roloff, took a stand with him. And a lot of people said, oh, listen, just take the license and stick it in the drawer. That's not it. It's standing for what's right. Yes, behaving ourselves valiantly for our people. Why? Wait a minute. Our people are not just the people right here, okay? Yes, we got some folks coming up.
Amen.
I got 3 grandkids over there.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to have a church like this when they're grown.
Amen.
If the Lord doesn't come back.
Yes, yeah.
I hope the Lord comes back and we're all in heaven.
Amen.
But if he doesn't, if I'm buried out at Mount Olivet, this whole body is carted out there and put in the ground, I want my grandkids to have a good, strong, independent, fundamental Baptist church that they can go to and people will band together and stand valiantly for our people. Our people. You've got kids. You've got grandkids. Hey, I want them to have a good church to go to.
Amen.
You say, well, they're not going to one now. I want them to have that option, though.
Oh, yes. Amen.
I want them to have that option, all right? Just stand for it, okay? Take our step, all right? Willing to fight, willing to stand with this generation and with another generation of God's folks. They'll be able to enjoy what we enjoyed, okay? Man, I want them to be able to sit down in church and sing my old hymn book, sing them great old hymns.
Amen.
That preacher's getting outmoded. It'll never be outmoded unless we let it happen.
Amen.
If we don't stand valiantly, that's the reason things have changed.
Yes.
I've had people come to me and people that I knew and they say, preacher, man, our church is changing so much. It's not what it used to be. They've changed everything. You wouldn't recognize it. Hey, churches today, if you go in them and you didn't know the sign was out front, you'd think you were in a nightclub. At least that's what I've been told. I've never been to a nightclub, all right? But man, you go in them and they're dark, black. Ceiling's black, walls are black, you know. Why would you do that? Well, a lot of times it's done because all the focus up here, it's no longer a platform, it's a stage. And there is a difference, okay? I was with a preacher friend of mine years ago, and he said, up here on the stage, I said, wait a minute. That ain't a stage, buddy. That's a platform.
Amen.
I said, don't you forget it. And he's a little younger than me, all right? I hope I influenced him a little for good, all right? But hey, it's not, right? We need to stand valiantly. Why? Our people. There's some people coming up. People coming down the line. Let's keep that stand. Let's behave ourselves valiantly, all right? Behave ourselves valiantly. Notice, finally, behave ourselves valiantly when you're surrounded. When you're surrounded. Now, you and I, you can read the story, you know how it comes out. All right, doesn't take very long to read through the rest of the chapter. Doesn't take very long to find out. Israel won, they whooped the Ammonites, they whooped the Syrians. They got the job done, all right? So we know the end of the story found here. We know what happened when Joab called for his people to behave themselves valiantly. But Joab himself did not know what was going to be the result if they joined with him at his invitation. You said, how do you know it? Well, look at the end of the verse.
Come on, that's right.
Look at the end of verse 13. We'll read the whole verse. Be of good courage. Let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people, for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. He said, we're just going to take a stand. We're going to behave ourselves valiantly, and then the Lord can do what's good in his sight.
Amen.
The Lord can do what's good in his sight. He didn't know how it was going to turn out. He didn't know what was going to be the end result. The truth of the matter is, conditions and circumstances when he made that speech did not look good.
Okay. Amen.
If you're a student of battle, one of the things they tell you not to do is to split your force. Don't split your force. Alright? Because you divide and what?
Conquer.
Divide and conquer, right? So you don't divide, you don't split your forces. But he did, alright? He split them. So conditions, circumstances, they didn't look good. I believe that's partially why he said, you let the Lord do what's good in his sight.
Right.
You and I, tonight, in this world, are surrounded by a host of folks that do not know our Savior. Do not know our Savior. Just out knocking doors and talking to people, I find a multitude of people that profess at least that they go to church, but they don't know our Savior either. I mean, you begin to talk to them and you talk to them about their soul, and they don't have a clear testimony of being born again at all. They've got a testimony of being religious.
Exactly.
Being sincere.
Amen.
But not being saved. And they go through the motions. But then they have to go to the doctor and get pills to get them through life, you know.
Amen.
Hey, they don't, and the world definitely doesn't understand the joy that lives in our heart and soul. They can't grasp that. There's just no way they can do it, all right? They don't appreciate the fact that we can say we're sinners who deserve hell. They may not jump, if you will, to hear the gospel story. But we need to behave ourselves valiantly and get the gospel out. Just continue to get it out. And however you can, all right? However you can. If it's personally, you talking to them personally, witnessing to them. Or if it's putting a track in their hand. And nowadays, you can even get a Q code thing, and they can take a picture of it, and it'll lead them to a page and a gospel presentation, all that kind of thing. There's all kinds of ways to go about it, all right? But I tell you this, we need to make sure we stand for the truth. We just need to be make sure we take our space, we find the spot, and we take a stand for the truth. And we're to stand against heresy, we're to stand against error, we're to stand against false doctrine. We'll just take a stand against that, all right? Now, it will not necessarily win you friends. It just won't do it. I mean, you know, here I am, I'm a preacher, but I never go to any kind of ecumenical pastors association or meeting. Why? Well, there's no fellowship of light and darkness.
Amen.
There's just no fellowship, okay? So I don't go to the ministerial association. If they say, we want you to come and unite with us, I say, I can't.
Amen.
I can't. There's a fellow that graduated from our school years ago, and he pastors a church. That's what he says it is. And I've heard him preach, and it's strange. It's definitely different. And he said one time, he said, hey, how about you coming and preach for me? And I called his name and I said, man, I love you, but there ain't no way I can't do it.
Amen.
I just can't do it. I can't do it. don't agree with his doctrine. Why? Because it doesn't agree with the Bible. He's a nice guy, but his doctrine's wrong. Hey, you and I have to stand for what's right. There's a tea, I guess you'd call it a tea store that's opened up here on Denton Highway. And the only trouble is it's right next to a drive-thru liquor store. I mean, tea, booze, all right? My wife, sometimes we like to try tea, and they have some flavored tea. And so she said, man, I hate to go there because you're driving out afraid somebody will think you just came out of the liquor store. I got a problem. That's my wife, okay? Hey, look, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Now, I'm not preaching against you going to the tea store, all right? But I am saying this. We're to take our stand, okay? Joab said, let us behave ourselves valiantly. Hey, we do live in a world where we're the minority. Now, I'm not saying that so you go, oh, pity us. No. Man, what a blessing it is to be a child of God. What a joy it is to be saved. Know you're saved. Have that joy within your heart and your soul and just rejoice with it. And you say, well, but it seems like everybody else believes something else. That's okay. It doesn't bother me. Hey, it's my job to stand and behave myself valiantly for our people. For the Lord. That's the challenge for us, okay? The challenge for us. Now, our challenge is not to find a place where we can meet in the middle. Our challenge is take a stand here and say, come on over here and join me. Not let's meet in the middle. No, you come join me. We stand for the truth. It's the Word of God. Come join me here. Hey, come on in. The water's fine, if you will, all right? Hey, can I say this to you? Past generations of Christians have behaved themselves. And I believe they're rooting for us to do the same.
Amen.
The Bible said we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses.
That's right.
Great cloud of witnesses. I believe they're rooting for us. Now, once again, I said it before. I don't believe they're in heaven just watching us.
No.
There's a lot better things to do than watch us, okay?
Amen.
But I do believe they're wanting us to do what's right.
Oh, yeah.
Future generations depend upon us to behave valiantly.
Right.
To just gut it up and go on, all right? Dealing with kids, I get so tired to have little kids, and some of them, I mean, it doesn't take anything. Crying. What's wrong? What? I'm bleeding. It's not bleeding, but it's red. It's not bleeding. And it doesn't take anything. Man, we got adults that are that way. It doesn't take anything to just push them over the edge. I mean, they can't take. Look, step it up. Step it up, all right? Behave. Let's behave ourselves valiantly. Why? Because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. We're it. We're it. Humanly speaking, we're the hope. We're the hope. And by the way, good news, it's not just us and no more. There's other people like us around the world. We're not in the majority, but there's a bunch of us. If we all got together in one place, it'd make a good crowd. But, you know, hey, you may feel like sometimes, well, man, I am alone. Maybe you feel like, well, it was Elijah said, I'm the only one left. Sometimes you can feel that way. But you're not. You're not. But even if you are, let us behave ourselves valiantly. Let's just do what we're supposed to do. Step it up. Take our stand. Step out, let people know, witness for the Lord. Here I am. And let's let the Lord do what seems good to him. Just let the Lord do what seems good to him. And if it's good to him, it ought to be enough for us. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us see the simple truth in the Word of God. In Joab's day, It was a dangerous day. It was life or death. They had to stand up and they had to behave themselves. They had to fight for their own people. Lord,